Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 168, stanzas 1 and 2. Before thee, Lord, a people waits to praise thy name in Zion's gates. To thee shall vows be paid. And what follows in 1 and 2 of Psalter 168.
Portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon, you can find recorded in the Gospel according to Luke and are of the 15th chapter. Luke chapter 15, but before we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke chapter 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house, and seek diligently until she find it? And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. And he said, A certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that followed to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father had killed the fatted calf, because he had received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou didst say, how hardly shall a rich man enter into the kingdom of heaven? Oh, how hardly shall we enter? For we are rich and we are increased with goods, and we have need of nothing except that thou wouldst open our poor blind eyes. For thou didst say, thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. Oh, we come to thy house, and we come to church, and we read thy word. Oh, Lord, thou knowest all our hearts, and there is not one of us that is not a sink of sin. Oh, there is not one of us in whom it does not dwell and live and thrive, except that thou dost come and intervene. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord. It is no wonder that those publicans and those sinners, they did draw near unto thee, that they might hear thee. Oh, that they might hear the gracious words that did come out of thy lips. For such as they were, oh, wilt thou also make us such. We have heard it in these moments. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner repenteth. Oh, Lord, is there then not so much joy in heaven anymore? Oh, could it please thee to give the heavens to rejoice over sinners that do repent? For when the tears begin to flow upon the earth, oh, then the heavens do ring with rejoicing before thy throne. Oh, bring thou us, young and old, into that place where we cannot bring ourselves. Oh, break thou our hard and stony hearts, and grant us that true repentance, that sorrows over our sin, that feels our wretchedness and our guilt, that is ashamed before good and a good-doing God. Oh, that may come in the dust before thee, that may bow before thee in a way of true humility. For then there is hope. O Lord, do it for thy name's sake, for both young and old. And when we have come under thy truth our whole life long, and our heart that gets harder and harder the longer that we live, and there is no man that is able to break it, but that is thy work. and we can hear it in thy holy word, that thou dost go out to seek thy own. Oh, it is the work of thy Holy Spirit. We can only beseech it of thee, that thou in the greatness of thy love and in the greatness of thy mercy, and for the sake of thy dear Son, that his work may be magnified and glorified, all that he has accomplished, that a price that he has paid, even with his own life, oh, glorify then thyself, and grant him that inheritance that is due unto him, and that thou hast promised unto him. Oh, could it be also among us, that we and our children and may be recipients of thy grace, oh, that we may be given also to rejoice in thy salvation. Bless thou thy word this day. Give us truly in our hearts to hallow thee. Look upon us in all the needs and the cares that do cling to men in this world because of our sin. Then wilt thou sanctify and bless the ways wherein that thou dost lead. Give to our children and our youth in the days of their youth, to fear their Creator, to remember thee, oh, that thou may bless also the means that are used for their instruction each day at school, when we hope also to meet as a synodical education committee and as principals in this week. Wilt thou give traveling mercies? And wilt thou give a good meeting together, and that there may be a blessing upon the manifold labors that are expended in the midst of our children, in our schools, in our denomination. Wilt thou look also upon the mission field, children also in those places, and all over the length and breadth of this world, where there is also so much suffering, the virus that does go through this world. Oh, that thou may thyself arise, and that thou may watch over us for good. And wilt thou thyself show thyself as that great physician for the needs of the bodies of those that are afflicted and sick. But bring also to thy footstool for the healing of the soul, those nations which are steeped in idolatry and all kinds of false religion. Oh, that thou may open the eyes, and that thou may give the truth to enter into those places, and that our hearts may be drawn to the true and the living God. Do look upon our governments in all the needs and in all the cares. Oh, that thou may grant us those who may lead us according to thy truth, and that thou thyself may as arise for thy truth in the midst of our nations to put away the rampant sin and to not deal with us according to our sins. Wilt thou care for all the afflicted, all the handicapped, all those that do suffer from serious diseases, those that do mourn in these days, wilt thou thyself be a comfort unto them, and wilt thou teach and instruct us in the seriousness of our life. Do look upon us in this hour. Help us, O Lord, to bring a little portion of thy word. Oh, come thou, give us clarity, give understanding in the mind, but oh, do bring it in our hearts together. We want to feel thy power on every side, because we cannot do it with an outward knowledge, but it must become the knowledge of our own experience. Oh, do bring us then in that place that we must be brought and that we cannot bring ourselves, that there may be yet a message of free and sovereign grace that is coming to us in a personal way. Oh, that a hope may be born that will never die, and that thy name may be glorified for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 362 all the stanzas. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. And what follows, the last collection today is for the building fund, 362, all the stanzas. beloved congregation, after David had sinned in numbering the children of Israel, then we read that the Lord's prophet Gad gave him a choice of three punishments. That is, for 3 years that there would be famine in the land, for 3 months to be slain by their enemies, or for 3 days and the pestilence in the land. What did David choose? David said, "I am in a great strait." What would you choose if you had to choose your punishment? Finally, David says, "I cannot choose." He says, "Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, and let me not fall into the hand of man." And why not? David also explains, for he says, "Very great are the mercies of the Lord. Very great." That was the experience of David. That is the experience of the true church of God. And that is where God will be magnified for, to all eternity. And we wish to consider something of this together out of Luke 15. Luke 15, the 20th verse. "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." So far the words of our text. Our theme, that is, ready grace, in two thoughts: a display of the depth of depravity. Second, a display of the height of grace. Ready grace. A display of the depth of depravity. Second, a display of the height of grace. And a certain man had two sons. Do you have sons? Do you have daughters? That is a blessing, because some do not have sons or daughters. Do you have a father, a mother, boys and girls? That is a blessing, because there are some boys and girls that do not have a father, do not have a mother. What is your father like? Do you know your father? You say, "Of course I know my father." Yes, you know your father, you know your mother. But do you really know them? Do you know what that character is of your mother or of your father? Do you know what is living in the heart of your mother and what is in the heart of your father? We take, especially when we are young, then we take so much for granted. This young man we read of in this parable, he does not really know who his father is. But he is not either so interested to know who that his father is. No, he is only interested in himself. He is only interested in his own future. But this father of his, he has a very special character. He has a very blessed character. It is a character actually of fatherhood that is supposed to belong to all fatherhood, but that does not live in every father. but he has not yet experienced in his life what now lives in the heart of his Father. And now the Lord Jesus, he tells this parable. And he tells that parable for a particular reason, that is, that he may display what is the character of his own Father. Because that is also a character that is, well, that is not so known by that church of God. Until the Lord may give them to live it out, to experience who that Father actually is. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me. What is that? It is dissatisfaction. Dissatisfaction in the house of his Father. Are you dissatisfied, young people? In the house of your Father? He wants out. He cannot dwell with his Father. He does not appreciate all of the blessings. He does not see all of the gifts that his Father does give unto him. No, his eyes, they are looking elsewhere. His desires, they are wandering all over the world. Oh, they are looking that he may enjoy something of this world, of the pleasures of the sin that is in this world. And he divided unto them his living. How do you think that was in the heart of that father? That is like a knife that goes through the heart of that father. Then he is portioning out, because that boy, he cannot wait until father dies. But he must have it now. And now with pain in his heart, and then he is dividing his entire living between his two sons. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. We see him. We see him gathering all the things that he says they are mine. They are mine in this world. We see him putting all those things together in a package. He is placing that upon his shoulders. And then we see him go. Do you know what we do not read? We do not read that he gave his father a kiss. We do not read that he embraced his father. We do not read that he acknowledged his father for all that he had given to him. We do not read that he turned about and that he waved, boys and girls, like you would do when you go away from your father. Nothing. There is not a single thought about his father. But he simply turns away from his father. He has one thought. That is a new life. That is a life of pleasure. That is a life of enjoyment of everything that he can take in this world. That is a life also of liberty. Because he desires to be delivered from the bonds of the domestic law, the law of his father, the boundaries that his father has placed around him, boundaries that he has a desire to throw off. He has only thoughts of self-government. So that everything that his heart desires is now going to be available unto him. And he can live out what is living within. He leaves everything behind. So we see a picture. So we see a picture of the natural man. We see our own picture in our covenant head, Adam. A picture of what has taken place under the temptation of the prince of darkness. When man, he has fallen under the temptation to free himself from his father. To free himself from the law of his father. Oh, man has fallen. He has fallen under the prospect of liberty. He has fallen under the prospect of governing himself, of being delivered from the bonds of that moral law, that he may live out what is within. Oh, did you ever find yourself? Did you ever find yourself in the picture of this young man? Did you ever find yourself in the picture of a son of Adam? Oh, did you ever see yourself? That your back that is turned unto the Father of the creation, unto your Father by the creation. Did you ever see yourself as one who is going further and further away? What do we read? Taking his journey into a far country. He will go away so that he is no longer under the eye and under the admonishment of his father. Is your back turned unto the Lord? Is your back turned unto the law of the Lord? Oh, do you desire to be a law unto yourself? That is now our picture. Picture of the depravity of fallen mankind. And took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. What do we read in God's word? We read of man that God is not in all his thoughts. Is that true of us? Children, young people, is that true of us? How many thoughts of yours is God in? This day, even the Sabbath day, last week, how many thoughts of your mind was God in? That is not the way it was with this man. His father? No, there is not more than just a passing thought. A little remembrance of his father. He is enjoying himself. He's living. He has friends. You say, man, be wise. Think about your father. What have you done to your father? But he will scorn you. Life is good, they say. Eat and drink and be merry, because tomorrow we die, wasting his substance. Where did that substance come from? Oh, that substance that was so carefully acquired by his father for him, that was so carefully put aside, especially for him, by his own father. Substance, value. Wasting this substance with riotous living. All the goods, the inheritance that he has received from his loving father, with all his gifts, with all his talents, with all his time. Oh, there is nothing in his whole life that is for profit. Everything we read here, wasted. All his estate, all his property. What do you think, young people? What do you think of that? You say, young man. Maybe you say you are somewhat out of your mind. You're right. Do you know what the Bible says about this man? Because it says of this man, it says, and when he came to himself, what does that mean? He came to himself. Well, then the scriptures speak about that way wherein he was walking as a sort of a madness, a sort of an insanity. He came to himself. That means, how was he before he came to himself? Well, then he was out of himself. He was beside himself. That is what we read that even the family of the Lord Jesus said about him. He is beside himself. That means he does not understand what he is doing. He has lost his mind. He is not acting in a rational way. Oh, that is true. And yet this man, do you think that he can still reason? Do you think that he can still think? Oh, you say, sure. Oh, it is not that he has lost all his mind, no. But it is that he chooses what he knows is wrong. Thus, it is his heart, it is his will that is corrupt. Oh, do you do that too, young people, children, fathers, mothers, all of us, do we do that too? We know what is right, and we choose what is wrong. And when he came to himself, you say, how does that happen? That man, he comes to himself, because that speaks about a great change. It is not a change that his father, oh, you can be sure his father, he has besought him. He could not change him. No, he had this desire that was living in his own heart. You say, how then does this happen? Moral suasion. That does not convince him. And yet this man, he is stopped. How is that man stopped? What do we read? We read, and when he spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. Thus we have the work of God. A mighty famine. A mighty famine in that whole land that is to stop a single man. Thus the Lord's work. That man, he has to come to a standstill. Affliction, trial, persecution. Oh, the Lord knows how to stop a man. Do you believe that? What does the Bible say? Whom he loveth, whom the Lord loveth, that is the man that he chasteneth. The Lord, he will stop that man in his own time. So that man, we read, he begins to be in want. Oh, that is so different. That is so different than anything that man has ever experienced in his whole life. Because he was a man that was always full. He was a man that always had enough. And now the Lord, he empties him. So that this man, he begins to be in want. Were you ever in want? We read about Naomi. She says, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. That is bitterness. Why? She says, I went out full, and the Lord had brought me home again empty. There you have the work of the Lord. Say, the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord to make a full man an empty man. What does that boy do? What would you do? What would you do, young people? You say, well, he has no choice. He has to go to work. That's right. That is what we do. Has he no choice? Could go back to his father. That is not our first choice. No, our first choice, that is to go back to work. And so this boy, he is now going to make somewhat good. He has to somehow uphold himself. He needs to feed himself. He needs to take care of his own life that he may still continue to live. That is so natural. That is now what is living in all of our hearts. And that is not only for this life. No, that is also for the need of our soul. Because when the Lord, he is emptying, so that there is nothing left, then a man, he begins to try to help himself. How now can I sustain it? How now can I stay alive? Oh, then there needs to be work. And there is much work. And now this boy, how does he try to raise himself out of his difficulty? Listen. And he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he was sent into the fields to feed swine. That is, to feed the pigs. We say that is not so bad. Because there are some of us also, we feed the pigs. But that was different in the land of Israel. Why? Because those swine, they were unclean animals. So when the Lord Jesus' children, he will tell this parable. And then how is it possible for him to show how low that man has come? How is it possible for him to picture for the people that do listen to him the depth of the depravity of man? Well, he can show that if he will speak about the swine. And thus, the Lord Jesus here, he is painting this picture. He is displaying in this parable the depth, the utter depth of the depravity of mankind. How low that man, he has brought himself. He goes to feed the swine. He goes to try to help himself. Does it help? Does he get anywhere? Does he rise then in the stages, in the steps to make himself once again into a rich man? Say, it does not help. No, that is now the difference. That is the soul-saving difference between the true work of the Lord and the false work that is of man. Work of man, when it is not truly of the Lord in our life, then it helps. Then we can raise ourselves out of our misery. Then we can help ourselves. Then we can keep ourselves alive. Why does it not help in the life of God's people? Well, because the Lord is standing in the way. What is it here? There is a mighty famine. Thus the hand of the Lord, that man, he can work and work and work and work and work. Cannot get anywhere. He cannot get anywhere. Because that mighty famine, that mighty hand of the Lord, that will keep that man in this place. Oh, the Lord Jesus, He is painting a picture. He paints a picture of the Spirit of the Lord and the work of that Spirit to stop a sinner. It is a powerful work. I have heard the late Reverend Spontz. He says, then a man, he has to sit in his own stink. There he has to meditate. He has to meditate on his state, on his condition. There he may meditate on his wretchedness. There he may meditate upon his misery. There he may feel. There he must experience that he is not able to help himself out of this condition. And what is now the crowning thorn in the affliction of that people, that it is my own fault. I have brought myself into this place. I have no one to blame except for myself. And when he came to himself, indeed, if those afflictions, they are from the side of the Lord, then the Lord will bring a man unto that place where he comes to himself. And when he comes to himself, and when he may experience something of all his wretchedness and all his misery, then his thoughts begin to go back unto his Father. Then he begins to think about where that he has come from. That is what we read. And when he came to himself, he said, how many servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Oh, did your thoughts ever go back unto the Father of your creation? So it is with this man. And now he becomes jealous of the lowest person that may be in the house of his father. He does not say, oh, my brother, he still has it so good. No. He does not think, that is the furthest from his thought, a brother. No, the servants. Oh, how good the servants have it. The lowest in the house of my father. Oh, there is now that people that do sit in their wretchedness, who do sit in their misery, and whose heart is jealous for the least person in the kingdom of God. Here is true repentance. When a man comes to himself, and when he sees, and when he feels all of his wretchedness, and his thoughts begin to go back unto his Maker, unto his Creator, unto God, and there comes a missing, and a longing again for his Father's house. Oh, to say, is there yet a way? Is there yet a way that I may be received into it, into his favor? And that now the Lord Jesus, he displays in our second thought. He displays not only the greatness of the depth of the misery of man, but also the height of the mercy of God. Let us sing 226. All stanzas, O Lord of hosts, to thee I cry, our Father's God, to thee. Let my petition reach thy ear, my prayer accepted be. 1, 2, and 3 of 226. I will arise and go to my Father. Is that not a wonder? That is now the intention of this new life, because that man, he receives new desires. That is, a people, they smite upon their own breast. They say, oh, how is it possible that I could have been so foolish? And now everything changes. Oh, those things that before they have not desired, they become the desires of their heart. And the things that they have before desired, now they turn their back on. Oh, you see that young man, young people, then he is completely turned around. Before that, his face that was completely away from his Father, that was going out to seek all the enjoyments in this world, then his back was turned unto his Father. And now that is so completely different in the life of that young man. Because now his face that is toward his Father, oh, now his, that is the new direction in which his soul is traveling. Did you ever see a man, a boy, a girl that the Lord has converted? Oh, then the books that he is reading, they are different. Then the places that he is going, they are different. Oh, everything becomes different about that man's life. You say that there is something that has so changed there. Yes, I will arise and go to my Father. There is implied in this a certain view of grace and of mercy. Otherwise, he would never even attempt to go unto his Father. And yet, we have all seen a picture. And sometimes someone shows, you say, I've been at that place. Here is a picture. You say, beautiful. Yes, but if you go to that place, then you will see the picture that is not able to show it. So that is the view. That view, oh, that can be so small. The view of mercy. Who can tell? Who can tell? And that is drawing that man to say, I will arise and go to my Father. But the experience of that grace and of that mercy that is so far above those views, those little views. I will arise and go to my Father. And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. There we have the fruit of true repentance. True repentance in true conversion. What does it do? It bows. It humbles itself before God. Or it is so honest. It makes confession before the Lord. It says, oh God, I, not my neighbor anymore, I have sinned. It is now asking for something. It is now asking for something. You say, how does that man dare ask his Father for something? Yeah? How does he dare? He will not ask for the great things. Oh, it would be a great, great thing to him if he could have the smallest thing. You say, how does he dare to ask for the smallest thing? That is what he says too. But cannot miss it. He cannot miss it. And thus, he is drawn in to ask for that lowest part. And he arose and came to his Father. But when he was yet a great way off, his Father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. What does the Lord Jesus portray in this? About the father. Oh, he says that that father, he has been looking after him as it were from the day that he left. That he has not ceased to be watching out of that window and looking morning and evening and waiting for that day, longing for that day when that son that he would come once again unto him. Oh, what is the Lord portraying with this? Oh, he says, how ready to forgive. Ready to forgive is his father. That is now the whole purpose. That is now the main message that the Lord Jesus brings in this parable. He portrays his father as one that is watching and waiting for his people. You say, is God weak? And they are strong and that he just has to wait? No, God is not weak. No, he is sending his spirit to draw that people. But what is now the intention here? To display the readiness and the willingness of his father. That he is ready at the very first signs of true repentance, at the very first signs of sorrow, at the very first signs of grief, that his father is ready. Oh, he does not afflict willingly, says Jeremiah. His father saw him and had compassion and ran. Oh, he sees him. Already far in the distance, he recognizes him. He says, it is my son. Oh, he sees his tattered clothing. He sees his bowed head. Oh, he sees the hesitation in his step. Maybe sometimes he stops. He says, do I dare? Oh, do I dare? The closer that he comes. And then it is just as if that father, he is afraid that that son, he will not come all the way. Why doesn't he not wait for that son to come to the door and to bow before him? Oh no. He is so ready. And he is so glad at that first sign of that true repentance, that it the Lord Jesus, he says, my father, oh, he has this character, that he cannot wait. He cannot wait. And ran. He quickly runs. And not only so, but now the reception of that boy, that is so much greater than he has ever expected. He receives in the first place a kiss from his father and kissed him. Oh, what does that mean? The father, he is so ready to give that boy a token of his love. He is so ready to say unto him, oh, I am ready to receive you back so wholeheartedly. Oh, did you ever desire to receive a kiss from the Lord? One kiss. Father, he says, I have sinned. I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Blessed. Blessed confession. The angels are singing. When this man, he begins to say unto his father what his guilt is, what he has done, and now that is enough for his father. Oh, he does not need to hear another word. He will not permit his son even to finish. Bring forth, he says, the best robe and put it on him, and a ring on his finger, on his hand, and shoes on his feet. Oh, we cannot fathom what the Lord he has laid away for every one of his children. A robe of righteousness. Oh, then the Father, he will have him clothed. He will take off from him all the tatters in which that he has brought himself. And he will clothe his church in that blessed righteousness of his own dear Son. Oh, he shall look upon it so white, so perfect, and so pure, so that nothing that they have ever done shall ever be mentioned unto that people, Ezekiel says, anymore. A robe of righteousness, a ring on his hand. When do we put a ring on our hand? Oh, that is when we get married. That is when there is a union, a ring. Oh, that is that he says to him that thou art mine, and I am thine, and that it is never, ever to be separated anymore. And shoes on his feet. What does that mean? Oh, the shoes, they belong to a son. They belong to, because the servants, they got no shoes. They had to walk in their bare feet. And now that boy, he is ready to say, and he has said to his father, I am not worthy to be called thy son. But the father, he will have nothing of it. No, and shoes on his feet. The full restoration of that sonship of his people. Or we say a display by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is telling that parable. That is not a true story. No, that is a parable of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has something to say in it. And he is now displaying the depth of the depravity. And he is now displaying at the same time the height of his father's grace. Oh, that boy led into his father's house and to the table of his father, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry, all from desiring to eat of the husks from those swine which he did feed, to sitting at the table of his father and eating of the fatted calf. Oh, that is now what the Lord is doing. The Lord, he is lifting his people out of the pit. Oh, he took me from the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings, the psalmist said. The Lord, he is lifting that people out of that hell that he had that they had brought themselves in, and he is bringing them directly into his glory. Oh, who can fathom the grace of God that is so much greater, the Lord Jesus says, than the grace that can be imagined even in the heart and in the mind of a man. That is now the word of the Lord Jesus. Because what do we read of his brother? We read, he would not go in. Now, why would he not go in? Because he is angry. Who is he angry at? He is angry at his father. And why? Free. free and sovereign grace. And that brother, he cannot understand it. He says, my brother, he has devoured his living with harlots. Is that what he says? He does not say that. He disowns him as his brother. He says, this thy son, he is not my brother anymore. But you still receive him as your own son, and you kill for him that fatted calf. He is angry. He does not know what grace is. He has no desire for it. He has no need of it. What does he say about himself? He says, neither transgressed I at any time. Never transgressed. You say, maybe he was a good young son. That is good. Are you also young people? Or do you think, because there are sometimes young people, they think, I have now to go out and to live in sin in order that there may be something to come back from. In order that there may be something to be converted from. I hope you do not think that. Oh, our own heart that is a cesspool. And the Lord, if he only opens our eyes when we had lived outwardly in all good conscience, as Paul says, oh, then the Lord, he can open our eyes to show us what is living in our hearts. Oh, no, do not add sin to sin, because you will only be sorry for it one day. David says, oh, remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. But what does the Lord Jesus now say with this brother? Oh, he says, if you never learn it, and if you remain that man who has never transgressed the commandment of the Lord at any time, if that is now the man that you remain, then he points to the scribes and unto the Pharisees. That is how that they felt concerning themselves. He says, you shall never know of that grace of God. Why not? Because you remain still in that old covenant. In that old broken covenant. You have no need for grace. You have no desire for grace. The Lord Jesus does not turn that elder son out of doors. No, he says, son, come in. But he will not come in. Why not? Well, what is in there? Transgressor. And a father who is too merciful. And he would not go in. Oh, we turn ourselves away. But now the Lord Jesus, he shows who his Father is, and that he is so ready to bestow grace unto those who have brought themselves into that swine pit. Satan says you are not worthy. That is true. Satan also says that God is not merciful. He will never receive you. The height of your sin, that is too great, and that is a lie. That is a lie. Your own soul that says, oh, how could it possibly be for one who is as I am? But what does Christ say? And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. His declaration of the character of his father, of the attributes of his father, that he is waiting to be gracious. That grace that his son has purchased with the price of his life. The price of his life. The Father is waiting to bestow. First signs of a true heartfelt repentance. Oh, will we not do then as that young son who said, I will arise and I will go unto my father and I will say unto him, I have sinned. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, do bring us in that place of true heartfelt repentance, a true confession. It is thy own word. Thou declarest who that thou art. But we are as that elder brother. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And we need to become to be made as that younger brother. I have sinned. O Lord, we beseech thee, open our eyes. Grant us new hearts that we may come to ourselves, that we may be turned about by that most powerful work of thy Spirit, and that we may draw nigh unto that footstool of mercy to experience the height of thy grace. Do forgive all our sins and do look upon us in the rest of this day. O, give thy word a place, O, so that we may read in our own homes. Care for thy servants that bring thy word also in this evening hour. Help us each one in our place in this world, in this week, those that labor on the sanctuary. And wilt thou keep and bring us safely together again in the end of this week. Do forgive all that was sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. 398, 1 and 2. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones, bowed down with grief, are helped by his most gracious hand. 1 and 2 of Psalter 398. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.